He's never been off my playlist. You know, when I sit at home and I go through the record collection, Howard Jones is one of the names that keeps popping up on the search for me. And I'm delighted to say, ahead of his show at the Union Chapel on the 5th of February, he joins me on the line now. Good morning, Howard. How are you?
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I'm very well, thank you.
Your music has an enduring appeal, doesn't it? There's something about it. What's the secret to that?
I mean, it's difficult to say. I think there's a few things. One is that I was always really keen to have my songs on the radio. You know, I wasn't so much bothered about, record sales and that sort of thing. But being on the radio was the holy grail for me, because I grew up, you know, listening to my transistor radio when I was 9 years old, and my mum always used to have the radio on in the house. So, you know, if you're on the radio, you could be listened to in the car, or, you know, when you're working, or, you know, anywhere you are, you can hear songs on the radio. So that was, and I think because I was focused on that, and I was very fortunate to get my stuff on the radio, that, you know, it's been continued to be played over the years, you know.
Well, I think back to the start of the 80s when your hits were being released. Technology was exploding at the time. You mentioned radio, and there was an explosion of radio stations. But then synthesizer technology, sequencing, musical technology was exploding. Was there kind of a moment where you thought, hey, this is actually quite exciting, I can do something with this, I have to do something with this?
Yeah, absolutely. It was the moment at which synthesizers, you know, you could actually go down to your local store. I went down to Denmark Street and bought my first Moog Prodigy, which I was working in a factory at the time, so I could just about afford it. And by mistake, they sent me a second one, by courier the next day. So I ended up with two of them. So I thought, all right, bass lines for one, and then lead lines for the other one. And then I thought, you know, I could do a kind of electronic one-man show here with a drum machine and some sequencers. And so I think I just jumped on the idea that all this new technology was coming out, and a great new way to make music.
Because you'd been performing in bands with others before your solo career. Was there a moment that suddenly, as a solo artist, you can actually do whatever you like? You don't have to bow to the whims of your fellow band members.
Well, there was a great sense of freedom that came with that, and that. But also, you know, when I played gigs, there was a great fear as well, because, you know, you're on stage on your own, and there's no one to turn to for support. But, you know, actually at the time, there wasn't anybody around that I knew of that, you know, I thought I could work with. So I was just faced with the thing that I was going to have to do it on my own, which I did. I mean, through the years, I've had all kinds of different bands and 12-piece bands and backing singers and string sections and brass and stuff, but you know, it originally started with just me and the gear.
Are you still excited by the technology? I mean, the pace of technology hasn't slowed down. You can now get a studio inside a computer and the most wonderful sounds. Is that still exciting to you?
Yeah, I think so. I think I used to say, When you know, right back, you know, in the early 80s, that would probably happen, that people would be able to do what we did in those sort of big studios at home in their bedroom, and that has come true. The only thing is that, you know, part of the joy of making music is to play with other people and to interact. And if people are only on their own for days and months on end, I don't think that music, is so enjoyable to make under those circumstances. So I always say, you know, it's always better to have people that you're working with. You know, it's fun.
You say that, but then looking ahead at this show on the 5th of February at the Union Chapel, it's billed as a solo show.
yeah, that's right. I mean, normally, you know, I'm out playing with the band, and we, you know, we're quite a large crew on tour. So doing the acoustic shows, I mean, see, I'm interacting with the audience with those shows a lot, because I'd talk about the, you know, how the songs were written and, you know, the stories surrounding how they were made, and I'd talk about the early days of playing in the clubs and then, you know, Live Aid and stuff. And it's like a conversation with the audience, and it gives me a chance to play songs that that are my favourites that wouldn't suit being played with a band, and it gives me a chance to play the songs that people know well, you know, in a sort of slightly different way and you know, sort of rejuvenated way. So yes, that's my story.
Is it going to be just stripped back? Is it just you and a piano on stage?
Yeah, it is. I mean, pianos that the were, you know, I've played since I was 7, so I've probably played every day of my life since then. And it's like I don't really have to think too much about it. It's like walking or breathing, you know. So I feel very comfortable with, you know, with playing the songs in that way. And I can really concentrate on the singing and, you know, and you know, telling a few stories. It's a real sort of contrast to the, you know, to the band shows.
For that kind of show, the Union Chapel really is a magical venue, isn't it?
Well, I've never played there, so everyone I speak to says that, and so I'm very excited to be playing it, because it seems to be a really very much loved venue. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it.
Have you ever seen anyone else play there? Is this,
no,
this going to be the first
time?
I haven't. I hope that's going to be a treat. I think it's just a magical venue, and I love that you can actually get very close, as an audience member, you can get very close to the stage, and hopefully for you that's good. We'll be sat right there.
Great, good.
It's not just you on the bill, is it? Who's supporting you on the 5th of February?
A young artist called Elise Ewell, who I've known now for several years. I've been sort of helping her to get a foothold in the music business and helped her to record her first EP, so that she could start to get gigs and start to go out touring. And she's been getting on really well here in the Southwest and doing a lot of work. And I thought, oh, it'd be brilliant, you know, to ask her to open up for me on the show and give her a chance to, you know, travel around the country and be exposed to a new audience. So very excited about her being on the tour.
Well, that is a treat that we have in store. One of the things that is perhaps behind my croaky voice this morning is that you have a website, howardjones.com, and last night I started flicking through that website, and you have all the old videos on there, don't you?
Yes.
Now, there was one hell of a lot of creativity went into those videos, wasn't there? I mean, just looking at them. Were they great fun to make?
They were great fun to make. I mean, thinking back to the very first one, which is the first time I'd ever done anything like that. You know, it was New Song, obviously, the first single. And, you know, I got very, you know, I worked with the director and said, like, what I'd like to do is to sort of tell my story in this video. You know, of me working in a factory and, you know, dreaming of doing my music, and then, you know, actually one day walking out and actually doing it. So we filmed it on the streets of London, and we started off in a pickle factory in the East End, and then I jumped into a Rolls Royce and drove off and stuff like that. It was really just brilliant fun. It was all done in one day, and there was a bit where we were down in the tube station, and I was playing my synth, you know, running down the stairs and along the platform, and you know, it was really good fun. The fact that, you know, we were the generation of music makers that were using video as an integral part of the whole thing, was really great fun as well.
Well, I grew up in London, and for me it seemed growing up that every local event you went to, you know, festival or whatever, there'd be a steel band playing in the background. Okay. You know, it was like certainly the thing at the time. Every event had to have a steel band, and I think back to Like to Get to Know You Well, where there's the guy with the steel drum following you around London,
yeah.
And,
yes.
And last night I was up, I must have watched that video three or four times because I was trying to spot all the locations that I know around London. You know, you come up Villiers Street by Charing Cross Station and there's the fruit and veg stall there. I'm like, what's changed? That's the same. That's not the same. So there you go. That's my guilty secret. That's what I was doing last night. Howard, this show is going to be a great show. I'm so looking forward to it. It's at the Union Chapel on the 5th of February. We'll put all the details on the Michigan Radio websites and wish you very well. Thank you very much for chatting to me this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Nick. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, let's go back to that song with the steel drums. And this is the one that I was watching last night again and again and again. If you do get the chance, howardjones.com. All the videos are on there, along with details of the tour, including the Union Chapel show on the 5th of February. Watch this video. See if you can spot what's changed in and around London.